He is risen, and indeed, he is risen. But does it really even matter? Happy Resurrection Sunday from Scandia Bible Church 2023. We want to welcome you to our sunrise service this morning as our church finds its way back after a four-year hiatus to gather in its tradition for this special time at the lovely waterside home of Elder Keith Barker. Music this morning being provided by our church family, and our sunrise service message being delivered by Brother in Christ, David Tevis, who will show us that indeed the resurrection means everything.
You know, it is amazing to think that on the first day of the week 2,000 years ago, that our Lord rose from the grave, victorious over sin and death, and secured for us life everlasting with him in glory. If you'll all open your Bibles with me this morning, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be in verse 12, and we'll go from verse 12 through 20. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Amen. People of God, this is the holy and inspired word of God. Amen. Amen. Josh sent me an article earlier in the week. It was titled, "Americans Believe in Easter Resurrection, but Aren't Sure Why It Matters." And the article went on to say that 66% of Americans say the biblical accounts of the physical resurrection of Jesus are completely accurate. I was shocked to see the numbers that high. I honestly thought they would be much, much lower. But then I did some research and found out that less than 20% of Americans attend church on a regular basis. So 66% of Americans claim they believe in the resurrection. Less than 20% actually attend church on a regular basis. You know, that's not including the people who go on Easter and Christmas. So there's a big disconnect there. There's clearly a problem that those who say they believe in the resurrection of Christ do not understand truly why it matters. And not understanding why the resurrection matters is nearly the same as not believing in the resurrection or denying it altogether. They may not deny it with their words, but they deny it by their actions. But what about us? Do we deny the resurrection by our actions? This issue of denying the resurrection is what Paul was dealing with in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most of us are familiar with the fact that the Corinthians weren't very well known for their godly behavior. Ancient Corinth was almost like the modern-day Las Vegas. Sin City would be a fitting title for both places. Corinth was known for what is called Epicurean philosophy. This philosophy believed there was no eternity, and therefore you should live whatever you feel is your best life now. This philosophy crept into the church at Corinth, much like our culture creeps in today. And chapter 15 is a direct refute of this cultural belief system. So Paul starts out the chapter before our passage this morning, and he reiterates the gospel to the Corinthians. He says in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then, in verse 12 and 13 from our passage this morning, he says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." So at the beginning of chapter 15, Paul lays out the foundation by giving them the gospel in a nutshell and showing them the evidence that Christ is risen because of the multitudes of witnesses who saw Jesus after the resurrection. And then he picks up in verse 12, arguing that if the Corinthians don't believe in eternal life or in the resurrection of the dead, then there's no way Christ rose from the dead either. And then Paul gives them six reasons why they should believe in the resurrection and the ramifications of what it would truly mean if Christ had never risen from the dead. And this is where we need to pay attention. It's not enough to just say that you believe in the resurrection of Christ. You may understand why it is important, or you must understand why it's important and live in light of that truth. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to is called White Horse Inn, and their slogan is, "Know what you believe and why you believe it." I love that slogan. True belief, true faith, it's not just a series of statements that we make. It's understanding why you believe those things. And the best way to know what you believe and why you believe it is to be in God's Word regularly. That is the best way to deepen your understanding of His truths. Knowing that you believe in the resurrection is good. Knowing that it is important is good. But you also need to know why. Why is it important? See, as Christians, we don't have a blind faith. It is a faith in something that is real, something that is known. Hebrews 11:1, it tells us, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for." And if we don't have the resurrection, we can't be assured of anything. And what would we be hoping for? With the resurrection, we hope, or we look forward to, that day when we will be with Christ in glory and will sin no more. And there's an overwhelming amount of evidence for the resurrection right here in the Bible. So I encourage you, especially you young people, to read your Word. Know what you believe and why you believe it, and live in light of its truths. Okay, we're going to go through the six reasons Paul gives as to why the resurrection matters. So verse 14 in our passage this morning mentions two of these reasons. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." The word "vain" here means useless. So if Christ is not raised, then preaching would be useless, and our faith would be useless. Trying to preach or proclaim the gospel without the resurrection truly wouldn't be good news, would it? Could you imagine trying to explain the gospel to someone without the resurrection? Imagine telling them, "God loves you so much that he became flesh and lived among us. He willingly went to the cross to take the punishment for your sins so that you didn't have to. Then he was buried in a tomb, and he's still there till this day. And one day, you'll end up just like him." Where's the hope in that? The true gospel is a message of hope. The gospel is the message that sets us apart from all other religions in the entire world. Every other religion is based on a system of works. They work to get to their version of heaven. But Christianity is based on the work of Christ. It's based on his life, his death, and his resurrection. All of those are works we could never have accomplished. The resurrection is the only aspect of the gospel that proves that everything Jesus did was actually true and that it actually worked. Without the resurrection, there is no reason to proclaim anything about Christ. It would all be in vain. It would all be useless. If we're proclaiming the gospel without the resurrection, then there's nothing for us to put our faith in. Why would we put our faith in a God who can die and remain dead just so that we can end up like him one day? But praise be to God that Christ is no longer in the grave. He is risen. And therefore, our preaching, our proclamation of the gospel is not in vain. It produces faith, since faith comes through the hearing of the gospel, which means our faith is not in vain either. Reason number three why the resurrection matters in verse 15 and 16. It says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Another way of saying this would be that Paul and the other apostles are false witnesses if the dead are not raised. Jesus himself stated numerous times that not only would he die, but that he would also be raised. John 2:19, Jesus says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. John 10:17, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Matthew 16:21, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed and on the third day be raised. If Christ is not risen, then he is a liar. And the apostles are false witnesses. And the credibility of the entire Bible would come into question. The resurrection is the ultimate hope of the gospel. It is what makes the gospel good news. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead proves that everything he did and said was absolutely true. Reason number four. Let's read verse 17. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are in your sin, or you are still in your sins. So here Paul tells us that not only would our faith be pointless, but if Christ is not risen, then we are still in our sins. Doesn't that sound kind of confusing? What does the resurrection have to do with our sins? I thought our sins were taken care of on the cross. After all, there's many, many scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about that, right? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. His wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. Christ died for our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Christ suffered once for sins. So what does the resurrection have to do with our sins? See, the resurrection is the confirmation that God's justice was actually satisfied through Christ's sacrifice, and that his sacrifice atoned for our sins. Oftentimes in church and Christian circles, we focus so heavily on the cross, and we're not wrong for doing that. The cross obviously is hugely important, and it is a climax of all human history. But the cross would mean nothing without the resurrection. If everything ended at the cross, we would have no hope. In the Old Testament, in the temple system, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went through several different cleansings and sacrifices and then was clothed in multiple layers of linen. Then he would go behind the veil or the curtain and enter into the Holy of Holies to offer a sacrifice to God to atone for the sins of the people. And the people would eagerly await outside, hoping to see the high priest emerge from the temple. Once the people saw the high priest emerge, they would rejoice and know that the sacrifice had been accepted by God and their sins had been atoned for. If the high priest did not emerge, then the hope of the people was in ruin. But this Old Testament system was just a type and shadow of the things to come. Instead of offering the blood of an animal, which could never save us, Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice, and he shed his own blood for our sins on the cross. He died, he was wrapped in linen, and was placed in a tomb, and the stone veil was rolled over the entrance. And if he had stayed in there, our hope would be in ruin. But we know that's not what happened. Christ emerged from the tomb triumphant, signifying the fact that God had accepted the sacrifice for our sins and that we are truly forgiven. Again, the resurrection is the confirmation that God's justice was actually satisfied through Christ's sacrifice. Let's go back to verse 17. It says, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." So the phrase here, "those who have fallen asleep in Christ," means believers who have died. So Paul is saying that if Christ had not been raised, not only are we still in our sins, but the believers who have died have also perished in their sins as well. Another way to say that is they have suffered complete ruin or destruction. So if we're still in our sins, we are headed for destruction and ruin just like they were. The faith that those dead believers had would have been in vain had it not been for the resurrection of Christ. Verse 19 says, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of the all people most to be pitied." This is not only the final reason Paul gives as to why the resurrection matters, but it's also the logical conclusion of all the reasons he's listed so far. Paul's argument up to this point is that if Christ has not been raised, the proclamation of the gospel would be useless, our faith would be useless, the apostles would be false witnesses, and Jesus would be a liar. We would still be dead in our sins and not alive in Christ, and those who came before us would also have perished in their sin and not be in glory with their Savior. The logical conclusion of all of this is, if Christ is not risen, we are wasting our time following him, and people should feel sorry for us. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, is that really something worth following? What does the Bible say about those who follow Christ? "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In the world, you will have tribulation. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. When you meet trials of various kinds, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." See, the Bible is full of passages and verses that describe our lives here on earth. They're filled with trials, persecutions, death, tears. The gospel would not be good news if the only hope we had in Christ was in this life only. Paul says further down in 1 Corinthians 15:32, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." He doesn't tell us if the dead are not raised, follow Christ anyway. No. He tells us in less words, do whatever you want. Try to live your best life now because that's all you've got. How many of us live this way? Seeking after earthly pleasures as if this life is all we have. So many of us who affirm the resurrection of Christ live as if he's not risen, which is the same as denying that he was even resurrected. We chase after the pleasures of the world. We gratify the lusts of our flesh. We follow our hearts. We make selfish decisions as if we're the only ones who matter. And if Christ had not been resurrected, we would be right to do all of these things. But Paul says finally in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Christ is risen. It's a fact, confirmed by multitudes of witnesses. Christ arose from the grave in ultimate triumph over death and sin. Imagine the hope that the high priest brought to the people after he emerged from the Holy of Holies, signifying that the Lord accepted the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. How much more hope do we have that our sins have been forgiven and that one day we will be raised with him? That's what it means in verse 20 when Paul says the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. See, Christ is the first fruits. He was the first of many to be raised from the dead, never to die again. And that is the hope that we have in the resurrection. This is the reason we proclaim the good news of the gospel. This is the reason our preaching and our faith is not in vain. It is the hope of all believers that one day we will be raised with him and be seated with him in the heavenly places. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, without the resurrection, we could not be made alive. We would still be dead in our sins. Christ lived his life in perfect obedience. He fulfilled the law. He died on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and bore the full wrath of God. Then he was buried in a tomb and rose the third day, confirming that his sacrifice was accepted, that God's justice was satisfied, our sins were atoned for, and that we would be raised with him to new life. New life with him, where there are no more tears, there is no more suffering, there's no more pain, no more sin. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you are a merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Thank you for the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate today and every day, that he is risen, that he is seated at your right hand and is reigning triumphantly. Thank you that we no longer need to fear death, and that one day we will be with you in paradise where there will be no more sin. Lord, please help us to live in light of the truths we have learned here today. Help us to proclaim your gospel boldly to those around us and open the hearts of those who hear your word preached to them, that they would believe and have hope in you. And Lord, I pray that you would instill the desire in all of us to be in your word regularly, that we may understand and be rooted in your truths all the days of our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope this sunrise service has been a blessing to you. We'd like to invite you back to listen to Pastor Monty Seamow deliver his Easter Sunday sermon under the church steeple at Scandia Bible Church, just a couple hours from now. You'll find a link in the sermon notes at scandiabiblechurch.org. Until then, happy Easter, and may God richly bless you.